This week on the podcast, I'm so excited to share my conversation with Kaylee Hamilton, a two-time Emmy Award-winning producer and reporter. She is the CEO and founder of Uplevel Agency, an impact-focused boutique public relations agency, turning founders into the go-to experts and visible thought leaders of their industries. Kaylee has interviewed hundreds of celebrities, reporting for top entertainment news outlets in Hollywood, including Entertainment Tonight, The Insider, and Us Weekly magazine. Kaylee is a specialist in brand PR storytelling. She was my media coach at one point. She is a friend, and I'm so excited today to share this conversation that she had with me on a more personal topic. I invited her to come speak about her decision to stop drinking alcohol and the whole sober curiosity experience that it took her on. Welcome to season 5 of the Wellness as a Way of Life podcast, the less is more source of wellness, knowledge, wisdom, and inspiration for female leaders and founders. Here, we teach you why not all wellness trends are for you, how to figure out which ones are, and how to best adapt them for your own personal wellness toolbox. Ultimately, we need to know how to integrate your wellness practices so fully that they become to feel like brushing your teeth, a foundational part of who you are and not a checkmark on your to-do list. I'm your host, Megan Swan, creator of the Wellness as a Way of Life community and the Sustainable Integrated Wellness Approach. I have more than a decade of experience in the wellness industry and on my own personal journey, learning how to tune into and trust my intuition and drown out all the noise. As a certified health coach, detoxification expert, plant-based chef, yoga teacher, and consultant, I will help you distill down the information overload and feel more confident and at ease in your own skin. This season, some of the topics we are focusing on are self-care being essential to self-leadership and leadership, holistic preventative health fundamentals for women as we age, sober curiosity, especially when it comes to optimizing yourself for entrepreneurship, ancient wisdom of cacao and consuming superfoods that are sustainably produced, and finding more pleasure in the patterns and beauty of it all. Here, we know that in order for health and wellness to be sustainable, we need a less is more approach, leaving the information overload and tips overwhelm behind. So take what you love and leave the rest. Let's swan dive in. Welcome back to Wellness as a Way of Life. I'm super excited to have my friend Kaylee Hamilton here today. We're going to talk all things entrepreneurship, women in business, and living an alcohol-free lifestyle. So let's get into it. Kaylee, how are you?
Hi, Megan. I'm so good. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I really wanted to talk to you specifically. I mean, you do so many things, as we will get to know you, that are incredible. But because of your leadership in the PR space, I really wanted to have your story be told about how you decided, or was it really like a conscious decision, and sort of take us back to when you decided to just stop drinking, not drink alcohol anymore.
Yeah, it's been almost 3 years now. I was looking back at the time. It was, almost 3 years. And you were one of the first people that I actually told that I was kind of like thinking about it and getting sober curious, because you were so open about your story. And I was like, wow, like nobody really talks about this. And I loved the way that you spoke about it. And so, yeah, you were definitely a bit of inspiration for me. So thank you. But yeah, I mean, I grew up like super shy, super insecure, really quiet. But I also, as I got older, it's like I very much wanted to be cool. And like growing up, I was obsessed with Hollywood, obsessed with celebrities. My dream was to interview celebrities on Hollywood red carpets. which I did end up doing after college, and I worked at Entertainment Tonight and Us Weekly, all the things. But like growing up now, I look back and see, okay, I just really wanted to be cool. And being cool had to do a lot with alcohol. And I consumed so much media growing up as a kid, like so many TV shows, movies, reality shows. In high school is when like reality TV started to become a thing for me. And so I just consumed all of that. And of course, all they show in reality TV is so much drinking and so much alcohol. And so to me, growing up, being like, okay, those people are cool. They have a lot of friends. They look like they're having fun and they drink. So I feel like I probably need to drink. And I grew up in a home of like my family drinks alcohol. They don't have issues or anything with alcohol, but my mom drinks wine every night, kind of. And then my dad, he likes to go out and have some beers on the weekends kind of thing. So it's always been like flowing in my family. I didn't start drinking until I was maybe like 19 in college. So I never even really drank in high school. I was a pretty much a little goody two shoes. And then college came around and I was like, okay, it's just, especially in America, it's very much, okay, we're freshmen in college. What makes us cool? Let's get the red solo cups out and drink. And that's how you get into parties and that's how you make friends. So that's what I started to do. And it just became more and more of a part of my life as I got older. And I graduated college, went to LA to work in the entertainment industry. And I always pictured and idolized like the girls from The Hills, that show The Hills on MTV, or like even that show Vanderpump Rules, which is still on. Like I watched the very first seasons of those. And in both those shows, they were like young, good-looking people who were working in the entertainment industry or working in Hollywood. And they were always going out on the weekends, going to the clubs, going to the bars and drinking. And so I really like visualized my life like that. Not just the like drinking, going out part, obviously like the working and the career part, but they kind of went hand in hand. And I really created a life of work hard and play hard. And I realized that the play hard came from the working too hard and getting so burnt out and not even realizing what burnout was, and then really starting to lean on alcohol and those fun weekends to get me through the week.
So yeah, I kind of forgotten that part about your story that you hit a wall in that industry and have carved a new path. And you kind of did that with because of the burnout before you made this decision. You were a couple of years into your own business, right?
Yeah, so it was 2020 hit and everything shut down, all the red carpets that I was working, I was running all over Hollywood working different red carpets and events, and I never really had a ton of time to, especially as I was getting older, to like sit back and think and just stop and pause and like go inward within myself. Before that I had suffered burnout and literally had to quit my job and take a couple of months off work and then get back into it, but I still hadn't healed things. And was still drinking, and then, COVID kind of forced that on all of us where I drank a lot less. Obviously, we couldn't be going out anymore. I wasn't going out for work. I wasn't going out to socialize. And alcohol became way less of a thing. It started to dwindle. That was the year that I was turning 30. I went through a breakup that year. Like so many shifts and transitions were happening, and alcohol being one of them. And my 30th birthday rolled around like toward the end of that year. And I ended up going to Cabo with just like a couple friends and drank a lot of tequila. And that was like the last time where I was like, I woke up and was like, this is not good for me. This is not fun anymore. This does not align with the just higher level version of myself that I visualize, because having had all that time at home, I was able to dive in and listen to podcasts and be inspired by people and actually come up with who I wanted to be next, as opposed to living in the short term, work hard, play hard, work hard, play hard. And so I just like woke up and continued to drink every now and then a little bit. And the thing was for me, I was a very social drinker, so I would only have alcohol when we'd go out. I never drank wine at home. I never drank at home. It was just always like a social thing. And thankfully, that all shifted. And then come April of that next year, we went out one last time, and I was just over it. Like, it just did not feel aligned with who I wanted to be anymore. And it hurt physically and mentally. And I was starting my business, as you said. And I was like, there's no way I can create and build a successful business if half of my brain, or my brain is like half dead for half of the week, like just drinking and then recovering. And then I realized like my productivity was just so low. I had such mental, like I had no clarity. Yeah, it was so difficult to just exist, let alone thrive and reach new levels.
Yeah, well, I think there's like a lot of compound, low level damage that it's doing to your productivity and your clarity and your ability to focus that most people don't even appreciate until they've maybe done a detox or give a break. Because
Yeah.
even like for so many people notice like how much extra time they have because they're not spending any time recovering. And yeah, there's usually like a lot of planning and time. I don't know if you have the same experience, but I used to be in social situations that now I would be there for 8 hours, like at the same table with people, and I don't know where the time went, right? And now, like,
Yeah.
there's no way I could spend 8 hours sitting at one table, like two maybe, and that would be like the conversation is really still flowing and engaging, but. Yeah, you kind of get a lot of time back. Did you notice anything in terms of your quality of sleep, or anything else mentally? And talk us through like, was it just a decision? And I think you kept it to yourself. So it was kind of like this secret experiment at first.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The time thing is so shocking. Like when you just delete that part of your life out of your life in the best way, you just get so much time back. I remember just realizing, like, whoa, I can fill this time with so many other things that are productive or even just self-care things that felt good. So that was huge. That was a huge part for me for sure. And I noticed when I stopped, just the physical things that happen when you stop drinking, that I was just blown away by. Like, my skin got clear, my hair got healthier, like all the things we want. Just even just like weight, I had been holding on to some weight and it just like melted off my body. I'm like, that was all from alcohol and drinking alcohol consistently. Like, I was shocked by that. And just getting having that free time, just more of that time too, gets you into those better self-care routines. And those routines are so key. It just amps you up the more that you drink less and the less that you drink. It got me into such better routines where I, yes, the like some weight came off from no alcohol, but I also was like a lot more consistent with like doing Pilates in the morning or like drinking more water and not stuffing my face like on a Sunday after like, a binge drinking day where I'm just like eating all this crap and whatever. So that was a big change. And I initially stopped drinking with my best friend, and we lived together in LA. And she and I, we met when we were like 21 in LA and worked together, lived together, went out together. So it was a big shift. Like, even in our friendship, too, it was like kind of navigating, okay, we don't have this huge thing that we always do together, which is going out and like pre-gaming and shots and dancing. Like we can still go out and, have fun. But that was an interesting thing too, was it was nice that we were doing it together, but there was a sense of definitely relearning and navigating what that new friendship looked like. And that's something we can get into too, is like how relationships change and how when people realize that you stop drinking, it's so interesting to see different people's types of reactions. People who either like know you really well, or they like are just acquaintances, and it's either super, super positive, or it's like negative. And it's shocking because when people stop smoking, it's like everyone's like, oh my gosh, amazing, congratulations. But when people stop drinking, that can be triggering for people.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Huberman or there's some quote like that alcohol is the only drug you have to, the people like ask what's wrong with you when you start
Yeah.
it, you don't do it.
Yeah.
You
It's
have to come up
crazy.
with an excuse. So yeah, no, I'd love to get into that because that was definitely part of my experience. I'll have to think back to like the earliest days. Like on one level, I was really preparing myself for like a social blowback that I never really had, at least it wasn't to my face. Maybe there was be some conversations that I wasn't privy to, but it was more like it's more in my case that maybe everybody knew that that was a good idea that I let alcohol go before I did. In that, yeah, I was at a stage where I was expecting, jokes like, oh, so you're pregnant, or, just the little things that you say when you're amongst close friends and family and you're deciding not to partake in the wine or whatever. And yeah, I mean, that's something I'd like to talk about too, if you found, ways that you needed to navigate. Although, as far as I can see, certainly in LA, there's like a massive sober culture. You could probably find mocktails on every single menu. Like it's not really as excluded, I think. Even five, like every year it gets a little less, what's the word? Less alternative and more life choice. But let's talk about friendship. So what did you guys find something new to do together that was healthier or just didn't involve alcohol?
Yeah, we definitely did. And a lot of life things changed for sure. But it was kind of a, it was like we each had to go on our solo journeys as well and figure out, okay, what, how am I going to fill this time in my personal life to best serve myself? And so we kind of had to, it was nice to have each other, but at the same time we needed to do it a little bit separately too. So that was really nice, and it was interesting going out for the first time, because the thing with me is like I love to dance. Like I grew up as a dancer, so like I loved being able to go to bars and just like dance to the music or go to a club and just like dance. And so part of me was like, oh, I'm gonna miss being able to do that and go dancing. So I still like would go out to the bars every now and then. And I remember going out and I'm like, I'm just gonna order soda water with a lime. And so I did that. And I just remember the first time doing that, I'm like, okay, this is happening. I'm out. This is going to feel weird. At least I have a drink in my hand. And honestly, just like having a drink physically in your hand in a dark room, that felt safe to me. Like part of that, I was just like, okay, this is cool. This is good. And then it was interesting when I would talk to random people or random friends, and they would hear, like, oh, that's a soda water. You've stopped drinking. A lot of people will come out of the woodworks and say, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Like, I wish I could do that. I've been thinking about doing that. I got a lot of that. A lot of people saying, I've also been thinking about doing that. Like, how is it? People that you would never consider would say that. And then there's the other side of the spectrum where, like, you're a certain kind of person or character in somebody's mind, and they think they can like always rely on you to be that person that will go out or have the drink with them. And then they automatically just get really insecure just by default from the fact that you're not drinking. 'Cause I don't know, it like it can definitely trigger something in people. And that was something that I also wanted to be really careful of too, is like never making people feel bad for like drinking, or if I'm not, or ever like trying to portray that I'm on some sort of high horse because I'm drinking like soda and they're having a cocktail. Like, I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. And I never wanted people to think that I was coming across like that. So it was a lot of like just little intricacies to navigate. But to your point, it wasn't a big thing I had to overcome as far as like the social settings. And like there was literally never a time where I was like, oh, I wish I could just like have that sip. Like you just like kind of figure it out and it's nice and people get it and it's like it's all good.
I mean, and that, it's been a while now for me, so it's just kind of a given. The odd situation, ironically, I find like when I'm in Europe, there's still this sort of assumption that like you have wine with dinner, and like, but it's just wine. Like, what's like wine is water, you know? Like,
Yeah.
no thanks. So. Let's go back to more, maybe your motivation and productivity and maybe even mindset and how it helped you navigate your business. 'Cause you've just like done this massive rebranding, well, not just, probably a year old now, and
Almost.
relaunched and doing amazing. So tell us how you feel like it maybe fueled your success.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I started my business to, I really wanted to help and want to help and work with incredible founders and inspiring people. And it's interesting the more that I learned about these like, big CEOs, whether it is just on podcasts and whatever, like a lot of them actually do not drink. So that was another validating thing for me where I'm like, okay, these like high performing people, you can't really be a high performer if you're drinking alcohol. It's just like they do not go together. And I realized that very early on when I was starting my business because that's where I was getting my inspiration was listening to people on podcasts or like reading their blogs and stuff. And being like, oh my gosh, what does it mean to be an entrepreneur? How do I even do this? Like, what am I doing? I'm like, I know I need to embody this higher self version of myself that I want to be, that I need to be to show up for what I want to do. And yeah, realizing that alcohol was definitely not a part of that was very clear to me because mindset, like, everything comes back to mindset in any interview you listen to with founders and successful high level or high performing people. It always comes back to mindset. And I realized alcohol, beyond just the physical effects, it affects your mindset so bad. Oh, and I like it took me a while to realize this, but just like that's probably what was the main catalyst was like, I would wake up with paranoia the next morning and like massive anxiety that would linger for days and days. And then the brain fog was insane and I wasn't able to focus. Just like all these ridiculous things that are so not worth a fun night out, quote unquote. And I was like, this does not align. And so it was definitely the mental mindset stuff that made me realize, okay, what will happen if I cut this out and like detox my brain? And yeah, I just like made the decision and decided to step into that version, step into that person who I so badly wanted to become. And that was inside of me that I knew was definitely my purpose. And just cutting that away was so freeing. And yeah, it just gave me the so much more confidence to do big things and to put myself out there. It gave me the clarity to know which direction I was going. Yeah, it really pushed me to be my best because it's like I already have enough insecurities from from growing up and like, we have all these subconscious things and the voices in our heads. So I was like, why am I putting this thing in my body that makes it even worse when I'm trying to get better and I'm trying to heal rather than continue to like give myself more wounds or hold myself back more. So, yeah, that was, yeah, a big one for
I love that
me.
you point out the sort of anxiety hangover part because I do want to sort of lay it out more directly that in your experience, it's not like you had a problem. Like it really wasn't negatively affecting, your relationships or your ability to work or, you weren't in that You weren't making a decision from that. It was really more of just your mental, physical day to day. And yeah, I think that's like, I didn't realize it for decades. It kind of just like, just kept this low level self doubt ever present. And it would be amplified because in my case, I would do things blackout drunk every once in a while and really feel very ashamed about it, or even more ashamed when I felt like I needed to rectify the situation or apologize or and all these things. So it was like this ongoing cycle of feeling crappy about myself. But it wasn't until later in my own experience, and I don't know if you've read Naked Mind by Annie Grace, who's kind of like the go-to sober lit, if you will, in terms of exactly specifically how it's affecting your brain. And this, your system gets addicted to or accustomed to needing or liking the alcohol as this quick burst of dopamine, and then little by little, and then you have that all drop off the next morning. And so it's like on a chemical level, you're just not feeling as good. And yeah, it's kind of this really common cycle that I think a lot of women are unknowingly in to some degree or another.
Definitely. And it's so freeing when you realize that you don't need it, like for the reasons that a lot of people use it. Like, it was for social settings. So, like, I was super shy and I always convinced myself, like, okay, I'm really shy, I'm really awkward. But when I drink alcohol, I feel like loose and I feel cooler and I can like say things and I care less. And I really leaned on that so much. And then just like making the decision too of like, no, I know how to be myself, be a nice person, be a fun, social person in social settings, actually as myself without the band-aid lens mask of alcohol. And so that's freeing to realize, but it can also be scary when you think about it, when you are in that phase of drinking and you've convinced yourself that you need it for this reason or you need it for that reason. And it's truly just like shifting that perspective and deciding, no, I don't need it for those things. And I'm going to prove to myself that I don't need it for those things by putting myself in a seemingly scary social setting, completely sober. And then what do you know? Like, I survived and everything was fine. And then you
Conversation.
just really need that like one time. I remember I just went through one night and the night ended and I felt fant I had the best night's sleep. I felt so good the next morning. And I was like, that's all I needed. Like, I survived the night. I did a good job being social and I feel so damn good this morning, like on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning, whatever it was. It was Yeah, that was life-changing.
Totally can relate. I mean, every time I wake up feeling great early on a Saturday or Sunday, I just like, this
Yeah, nothing
so
compares.
many years I did not wake up feeling great on those days. Can you maybe comment, because you were, I mean, I guess it's a corporate version of PR, but do you think you would have been able to if you were still in your former companies, or like how much do you think this is tied to like being on your own and sort of making an independent choice? And has it affected, I mean, you just alluded from a confidence perspective, it hasn't affected, but do you feel like it's maybe affected your ability to network in a positive or negative way at all?
That's a good question. I feel like I love networking without a drink in hand because, especially now running my own business, it's like reputation is very important. I want to make a good impression. I want to connect with people on like a deep level that isn't superficial, that isn't, I wake up the next morning, I'm like, who did I meet? Who was that person? Like, that would give me so much anxiety and paranoia. Especially today. Yeah, I think in my 20s, just working for different outlets, like I was, very professional and I worked so hard, so many hours. And then I needed that like alcohol time to blow off steam. But that time was not for networking or anything career-wise. It was just to have fun. And now it was really compartmentalized back then, and now I really like that I can integrate all the things. Like if I go to a social event, I am networking, quote unquote, with potential clients or other members of the media, and I can be my fun, still professional self. And then in Zoom meetings and meetings with my clients, I'm still my fun professional self. Like I don't have to be two different versions where I'm like work Kaylee and then fun going out Kaylee. Like that in itself feels like a huge burden and a huge weight. And being able to just be my authentic, true, highest, best self in all scenarios as much as I possibly can without alcohol is, yeah, it's like really empowering.
Yeah, I mean, like, it just saves you so much time, energy, you sleep better, you look better. You definitely, to me, I mean, when we met, you were just starting your business. And yeah, I might have described you as like a little shy, but like, I don't see that
Yeah.
anymore. Like, I see like
Oh.
more confident and full Kaylee. And yeah, it was really, really beautiful to watch your journey. Can you just briefly speak to, like, for you, why was it important to do it sort of as an inner experiment? I think a lot of people do it that way. They kind of experiment it with here and there before they, make some sort of public announcement.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for saying that, Megan. I appreciate it. And yeah, I feel like it is such a personal, I mean, it's such a personal decision, even though it is for me, it was like the social setting. But for a lot of people, it's like that glass of wine at night before bed or whatever it is. But for me, it's like it was deciding who I wanted to be and getting really clear on who I wanted to be and letting myself be inspired by people who are where I wanted to go and hearing their stories, and then realizing that they don't need alcohol for anything, let alone ever. And journaling on that, like I dove into all of the self-development tools that I still use every single day. So, like gratitude lists and journaling and affirmations and vision boards and meditating. It is a personal decision because, like, for me, alcohol, it's how I came off to the world in social settings, and it's how I viewed myself, how I thought others viewed me. So I kind of had to shift that perspective and rework how I wanted to show up in the world. So it definitely is a very personal decision that I had to get really clear on, do. And then, yeah, I don't think I posted anything about it on social media for at least, I think it was at least like 6 months. I think maybe I posted about my 6 month, like, month anniversary of being alcohol free. And that's the other thing too, is like, I was nervous about posting about that. First of all, because I used to post, me out with my girlfriends, all of us cheersing drinks. And so like, I'm like, okay, now I'm totally different from what people expect of me. And I was interestingly worried about, not worried, but like weary of the wording. I'm like, do I say that I'm sober? Because I didn't technically have an addiction. Do I say alcohol free? Like, how are people, I didn't, it's just the wording in
All
itself.
the
And like,
lingo, yeah.
I've all the lingo, and there's so much I like don't even know. Like I haven't even I would I'm sure I would love to even just go to like an AA meeting. Like I've never even been to one, but I'd be so curious to just learn from everybody because everyone has such different experiences. But yeah, definitely a personal, and once you make that commitment too, it's like, okay, I've made the decision. Now I'm officially on the path that I want to be toward creating the life that I want to create.
Yeah, I love how you describe that. I think it's an important piece that, on some level, it's saying goodbye to a former identity. But then as time goes on, you're like, okay, but it was like really proud of that identity. Or, there's
Yeah.
aspects of what I thought alcohol was giving me that really like the inner confidence, you have it inside you. You don't need the alcohol. That's just a narrative. And I, in my experience, like the more that I show up or have shown up over the years now sober, it's like even more, like I have more confidence now than I ever did thinking I had, liquid confidence.
Yeah, I know. It's like, why do we? It's just is what it is. It's like you think you have to go outside of yourself for all the things when all the things are within you. You have to just like get still, get present, get grounded, and tap into that. I mean, but yeah, once you realize it's like, okay, it's within me, it's within my
Yeah,
control.
exactly. And you did a really good job off the top here talking about how you were socialized, and we're all socialized with all these, not necessarily conscious framing of how important it is to be cool and to be, whatever your trajectory is. Pretty much any industry, any show has an element. And to me, it was always so interesting as I, one of the ways that helped me stay clear on my path was to read all the quit lit, as they call it, and understand sort of, I think I'm a little bit different generation than you, but not by much, but that really started marketing alcohol to specifically to women, like right when I started drinking, and also like how many narratives on even in current, like powerhouse lawyer women shows it, there's it's they tie these two things together. So you just kind of feed into this narrative that empowerment, or even in, in mommy wine culture, it feeds into wine somehow being self-care. It's like, okay, this is like it's a fine line for me. I think it becomes pretty dangerous pretty quickly. But the point is you can rewrite those stories. So what are the
Oh my gosh.
what are some of the stories that you've rewritten consciously or unconsciously for yourself?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's such a good question. I think going back to who I thought I needed to be in one scenario versus the other, and just like integrating my truest self in all scenarios, whether it is a more professional setting or a more social setting, it's like I just want to be me. Yeah, I would say that that's one, and then the other is just the confidence thing, and not needing that liquid courage to meet people, to date. Like when I connected with my now fiance over a dating app, I said in my dating app that I did not drink, so I was like very clear about that when I was dating, and he also does not really drink. He'll have maybe one every few months, one glass of something. So also realizing, oh, I can date guys who are really wonderful and meet someone really wonderful who doesn't need alcohol. Because before that, like, I feel like dating was totally, even that was centered around booze. It was like, okay, should we go to this bar, and what are we going to have for drinks at the dinner at the restaurant, on our dates, and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, rewriting that and the confidence thing, just knowing I don't need it, and the productivity. Oh my gosh, yeah, everything.
Oh, tell us more about what you're doing and what's the best way to get in touch if somebody's looking for PR support.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. Yeah, so I work with like founders, entrepreneurs, who are multifaceted. I always say that they're purpose-driven, they're heart-centered, and they really want to expand their reach and increase their visibility through media exposure. And I own Uplevel Agency, so you can find me at uplevelagency.com, UPLVL, and I am at Kaylee Hamilton underscore on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story and being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Megan. I appreciate you holding space for this conversation. I so appreciate all of the words that you've shared about sober curiosity and being alcohol free. It's like truly helped me, as I said, in my journey. So thank you.
Aw, thanks. It means a lot. We'll be in touch. Are you looking to surround yourself with like-minded women, be them leaders in the corporate sphere or other entrepreneurs that are interested in having a little bit of community, compassion, accountability, inspiration, motivation, wisdom around their own wellness journey? We're all about agency, we're all about less is more, super fun monthly events. Lots of tidbits of inspiration. Most content is shared via audio, so you can grab it and go as you're folding the laundry or commuting. And it's really just nice to have some place to check into when you're feeling like you need to carve a little bit more space for yourself. You need to up your ante slightly on your self-care, and you're just not sure what to focus on. It's a beautiful source of community, and I'm really excited to keep building it with you. So, do reach out if you are interested in joining. I will also share the link in the show notes. Thanks so much for being here. Hey there, one last thing I wanted to share with you. If you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean so much to me if you could rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. It really does help us grow the show. And this being so important to me to get this message out to more women to help them optimize their wellness and ultimately their lives. This is my mission, and I would greatly appreciate it if you could support the podcast by rating and reviewing. Thanks in advance. Have a good one.